Hello, thank you so much for joining me today for Give Him 15. No individuals have impacted their state, which would be Arizona, more than Hal and Cheryl Sachs. Their depth, revelation, incredible insights, and practical wisdom, ministered through sincere hearts and gentle spirits, make them irresistible to all they meet. CC and I love and admire them. Today, Cheryl is bringing a word of faith, encouragement, and instruction to us. Listen, apply it, watch things change.
Hello, I'm Cheryl Sachs, and welcome to Give Him 15. It's a joy and an honor to be standing in for Dutch today, while he is taking some much-needed time off to celebrate his 70th birthday. Happy birthday, Dutch. The title of today's message is The Power of Two or More. How many believers does it take to ignite a revival? Maybe fewer than you think. In fact, almost every revival recorded in history started with as few as two or three people praying together. From these humble beginnings, the seeds of revival multiplied into dozens, even hundreds, of clusters of praying believers until entire cities and nations were ablaze with the presence and power of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Massive prayer gatherings are vital and powerful, and my husband Hal and I have participated in many of them. The most memorable for me was the Call DC in 2000, when more than 600,000, mostly young people, gathered on the Washington, D.C. Mall to pray for America. Hal once participated in an all-night prayer meeting in Kampala, Uganda, where intercessors filled 18 sports arenas throughout the city, calling out to God with one voice to send revival. In one coliseum alone, he said 20,000 people were praying, and Hal described the sound of intercession as the roar of a freight train. But how did these massive prayer gatherings and other historic large-scale revivals begin? They started with just two or more believers united in prayer, such as the First Great Awakening, 1727 to 1742, which was marked by multiple small groups praying in cities, towns, and regions, and the Haystack Prayer Meeting in the USA in 1806, which started with five Williams College students praying for revival. And this stream contributed significantly to the Second Great Awakening. Then there was the Businessmen's Revival, 1857 to 1863, which began with just six men praying in a church in New York City. And it grew to 30, 60, 300, and then 2,500 people. The news spread and prayer groups sprang up from city to city and country to country. Within a year, 1 million people were saved. Praise the Lord. What's so remarkable about these prayer groups is how quickly they multiplied. In 1905, when American evangelist R.A. Torrey visited Australia, he found 2,100 prayer cells with 20,000 people praying in their homes. The meetings had an atmosphere of revival, and there was a remarkable harvest. The Hebrides Revival in Scotland from 1949 to 1953, also known as the Cottage Revival, began with two sisters, Peggy and Christine Smith, ages 84 and 82, praying every night in their little cottage for revival to come to their island. At the time, the churches were dead and practically empty, and not one young person was attending church. But it wasn't long before others on the island joined Peggy and Christine in prayer each night from their cottages. The revival lasted 4 years, and 90% of the island was saved, especially the teenagers and the young adults under 40. This pattern holds true in modern-day revivals as well. In our book, Fire on the Family Altar, Hal and I tell the story of our friend Chris, who traveled to Uganda to document the stories of how the revival began there. Chris had seen large stadium events attended by multiple thousands who gathered to worship and pray for their nation of Uganda. At one gathering, their leader, President Museveni, proclaimed Uganda to be a Christian nation. When Chris started to interview the Christians who had participated, they talked about how the revival had actually started in their own homes. And it became clear that family units praying together were actually the foundation of the revival. And the people shared stories of how marriages were healed, prodigals came home, and family members were delivered from addictions. And from their homes, the Ugandan Christians expanded their prayer clusters and invited Holy Spirit into their schools, their workplaces, and every sector of life, even to the Bank of Uganda, the President's office, and Parliament. And now it's happening again. We are entering the beginning of a God-breathed, worldwide Great Awakening like never seen before. It is marked by a growing societal awakening and a desperation for the healing of our nation of America and the brokenness of her people. Already, we are seeing believers responding to the call of God's Spirit to pray for lost friends, colleagues, and fellow students. They're gathering in homes, churches, schools, and workplaces, crying out to the Lord to send conviction, healing, and transformation. The remarkable thing is that the sense of calling is driven by Holy Spirit and not by any human. No one is organizing this. There are no templates or formula for how these clusters of believers are forming. Though it's extraordinary how closely they resemble the practice of the early church in the book of Acts, who worshiped, prayed, and fellowshiped from house to house. In the book of Acts, believers emerged to share the gospel with boldness and in demonstration of Holy Spirit's power to heal, save, and deliver. And we see the same emphasis developing in prayer clusters forming today. This is extraordinary. We see that believers are praying with family and friends for revival in their households and the nation. And these believers are opening their homes for other believers to join in fellowship, teaching, sharing meals, and having prayer together, such as is talked about in Acts 2:42. Believers in these prayer clusters are praying to share the gospel with power, evidenced by healings, miracles, and deliverances. And, this is very important, they are praying by name for friends, family, and colleagues to know Christ and to be set free. These prayer clusters are serving as spiritual watchmen and gatekeepers for their families, schools, cities, and the nation, and these prayer clusters are exploding across the nation. Clusters are forming in neighborhoods everywhere. Christians are intentionally getting to know their neighbors. They're reaching out to help elderly neighbors and single moms with home improvement projects. They're taking meals and praying for those who are sick. And many who are being befriended, prayed for, and ministered to are accepting the Lord. For example, our friends Guy and Terry Chadwick, began sharing a weekly Taco Tuesday meal with four other couples. And the couples challenged one another to pray for revival in their individual homes every night at 8 o'clock. Then, on Sunday afternoons, they all meet together to pray for revival in their city of Manhattan Beach and for the nation, and then they often go prayer walking the neighborhood. Guy and Terry always include in their prayers that not one family member or friend will miss the revival. They will all be saved and fervently serve the Lord. One professor we know encourages her students to form clusters to pray for one another and for revival on the university campus. And we just heard of a city official who formed a cluster with her fitness trainer, and they pray together every time she goes to the gym. Isn't that awesome? You might notice that these prayer groups are unconventional. That's why, rather than more familiar terms like prayer groups or prayer cells, I like the term revival prayer clusters when we are referring to the new thing that the Lord is doing. The prophet Isaiah speaks of this when he declares, "Thus says the Lord, the new wine is in the cluster." The emphasis here is on the cluster, not on the individual grapes. The grapes are not plucked individually, but must remain together to produce the new wine. New wine speaks of Holy Spirit's anointing. The Spirit of God is doing a new thing today. No one needs to sit on the sidelines in this next great move of His Spirit. We can all actively pray for and be the revival. We can all be part of producing the new wine. It's as easy as calling a friend to start praying together or inviting your neighbor to coffee and seeing if there is a need you can meet or something you can pray for. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 18. If two of you agree on earth about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. What a powerful promise. Pray with me. Lord, let not one of your disciples be found sitting on the sidelines in this emerging revival. We declare we will obey your command to pray, to go, and to share the gospel as you told us in Mark 16, and make disciples of all nations as you commanded in Matthew 28. We pray that we, your ecclesia, will be activated like the church in the book of Acts to share the gospel in power, and that thousands will be added to the church daily. And we decree that your light in us will shine brightly so the world will see and give you glory. Amen.